Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week you heard about King Herod's birthday feast. The first people were the ones invited. The powerful leading men and rulers of Galilee were all present in Herod's palace. The food and drinks were the best. The entertainment was to die for. And the gathering ended in much sin, with bound consciences and regrets, and a prophet's violent murder. Today you've heard about a very different king, and about his feast. You've heard about King Jesus and his feast in the wilderness. It wasn't the first and powerful people in attendance, but the lowly villagers and townspeople who were present. There was no great hall or comfortable furniture, no dancers or libations, just a teacher and his many disciples. His gathering ended with a feast. His gathering ended with sins forgiven, consciences set free, and with the last of the prophets giving food that gives eternal life. There can be no question at all that the Holy Spirit caused St. Mark to write these things in this order, to juxtapose these two different gatherings, these two different meals, these two different kings against one another, so that you can see the dramatic difference between the food and the celebrations of this world that is fleeting, that can never satisfy, and the food and the teaching that comes from heaven, that satisfies and gives eternal life. Consider how much King Herod's birthday feast resembles the entertainment that takes place on most weekends in this world. All the popular people are there. Good food, plenty of drinks, entertainment, and often great sin and vice, and more than a few regrets the next day. But then look at the gathering in the wilderness. Jesus' gathering looks an awful lot like what happens every single Sunday in reverent houses of worship around the world. Humble people who travel to an out-of-the-way location to listen to Jesus' teaching, to be fed by his servants. What a dramatic difference. You know this story quite well. The disciples are exhausted from their preaching and teaching of the people. They haven't even had a moment to themselves. Jesus says to them, "Come away to the wilderness and rest." They get into the boat and they leave, but the people beat them where they're going. When they disembark, there's already crowds waiting for them. Jesus sees the crowds who are spiritually malnourished and in need. John the Baptist, the one who has baptized them in the water of repentance, has just been killed and they have no one to listen to. He sees their need. He sees that they have run around the lake in order to get to where he would be, and he is torn up inside of himself for them. He has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. They have no one to teach them, no one to protect them, no one to feed them. You all remember Jesus' miraculous feeding of this crowd, but there's something else that he does here for them that's at least as important as the great feeding, in fact, probably more so. The text says he has compassion on them. His guts are churned up within him because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And then what does he do? He began to teach them many things. Having compassion on them doesn't mean feeling sorry for them. It doesn't mean just taking care of their physical needs. Jesus gives them something that will last long after he has departed from their region, long after he is crucified and raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. He teaches them many things. He teaches them this Christian faith. He teaches them the faith that comes by hearing the word, the faith that looks to Jesus Christ crucified to save sinners. and these sheep without a shepherd, listen as their shepherd speaks, not to be entertained, but because he feeds them and protects them, and they are safe with him. He leads them through the wilderness to the quiet pastures and the still waters. He prepares for them a place to eat and drink, even in the presence of their enemies. He taught them that they were all sinners. He taught them that they all needed to repent, not so that they could earn heaven, but so that they could receive his forgiveness, the very forgiveness that he was going to purchase for them with his own blood. And after he had taught them all of these things, he now teaches them without words. He teaches them by a meal and with food that is provided from heaven. You remember that part of the story well. It had been early in the morning when the disciples were going away with Jesus to a place to rest, and now we're told it's already late in the day and the sun has set. The disciples are tired and hungry, and now they're worried. They're tired and hungry, and the people have to be too. So they want Jesus to send the crowd away to loose them, the same word here for forgiveness, because there is no food for them to eat in this wilderness place, especially not for so many people. But Jesus wasn't just teaching the crowds in that moment. Even though they were the ones that were like sheep without a shepherd, the instruction was also for the disciples. Now it was their turn to hear Jesus' words and to see his actions and to believe. Jesus said to them, "No, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. Do what I called you to do. Feed my lambs." What would you do? The disciples don't know what to do. They ask, "Jesus, shall we go and buy food for them? It's only 200 days' wages. Maybe we can get enough for them to eat." It's a reasonable question, but it's absurd too. How are these 12 men going to go to the towns and villages and buy enough to feed 5,000 men plus the women and children that are there too? No, you see, the disciples here and the people both need to learn another lesson. The disciples need to learn that the source of the doctrine that they have been preaching and teaching, the ability to cast out demons and to raise the dead and to forgive sins, all of those things that they have just been doing among the people, that this power and authority have come from heaven. And if that power and authority comes from heaven, how much more does their daily bread come from heaven as well? From the Father in heaven, who has now sent his Son, the bread that has come down from heaven to give life to the world. This is what the disciples need to learn. Ask, and it will be given to you. The crowds needed to learn something else too. The crowds needed to learn who to listen to, who to receive from when Jesus was no longer with them. He would die and rise from the dead and ascend into heaven, and then who will these sheep follow? Who will their shepherd be? None but these men that Jesus has apostled, that he has sent to them with his authority to forgive and retain sins, to feed and nourish with his very body and blood. And so with these 5 loaves and these 2 fish and Jesus' blessing, everyone learns a very important lesson, and it ends with them all being satisfied. When Jesus got out of the boat, his guts were churned up within him for compassion for his people. And now the guts of all the people are satisfied. This is what God does. The Old Testament reading that's connected to this text today from Jeremiah provides a very strong and dire warning for all of those who will be shepherds in Christ's church. He says that all of these shepherds who have led astray the flock of God are going to be held accountable. Though they have failed to attend to their work and to God's people, God will not fail to attend to them in their wickedness. He promises that his righteousness will visit them, and that in his righteous judgment they will be punished, all those who scatter and divide the flock of God, who do not feed the flock with the righteous words of the Lord. These are very strong words from the prophet Jeremiah, and they should not be taken lightly by any who would seek to care for God's flock. It will not be with earthly things that shepherds provide, but with that which has come down from heaven, with the very voice of Jesus, and the words, and the baptism, and the supper that he provides. Though there is only one good shepherd who watches over and cares for God's whole flock, his church, God has instituted an office in which men are to care for these smaller seated congregations. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus has them sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties, so that each of them can be cared for by one of the apostles. This is nothing but a picture of the office of the holy ministry. It's the office that Jesus has bestowed on his apostles when he sent them out to preach and teach. It's the same office that is bestowed upon pastors today. And these are the ones that are receiving the warning that Jeremiah gives as well. Not everyone will patiently sit like you are and hear the word of God, the voice of their good shepherd through his sinful servant. Many will only show up for the earthly food. They won't come to be taught, to study, and to learn. And then if they don't feel satisfied, they will instead seek to be entertained by the world. So it has always been, so it will always be. Sadly, not all pastors are faithful shepherds either. Some really don't care what God's word says. Some do turn and run when they see the wolf coming. Others take the broad, easy road of the world and make friends with the wolf by sacrificing some of the sheep. Some will not speak up against false teaching or false beliefs, false lives, and false actions. Many refuse to speak even a single word against sin. But when they do that, neither can they speak the word of the cross. For Jesus only went to the cross to forgive sinners. Some of these shepherds only want to feed their own bellies, and they care nothing for the sheep. Some refuse to teach the pure word of God and to rightly administer his words of life. So it has always been, so it will always be. But Jesus' words that day in the wilderness to his people, both to those who will be his shepherds and those who are to listen, his words to those who receive and those who are sent to serve, his words to those who do not like to hear and believe, as well as his words to those who called to lead the sheep into the green pastures, his words to everyone listening are repent. Repent and be forgiven. This is what you need. This is why Jesus has come, to forgive sinners, to deliver his forgiveness to repentant sinners. Two kings that couldn't be more different. Two meals very different from each other. Earthly food and heavenly food. King Herod's meal ends in death. King Jesus' meal ends in life. You knew Jesus would be here again today. And so you have made your way to the other side of the lake, out into the wilderness, into a desolate place, not to be entertained, but to this little house to be seated in hundreds and fifties and tens, to see God and to eat with him. Or as our hymn said it, O blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we, like saints before us, may see you face to face. And God's living word is here for you. His forgiveness, life, and salvation are here for you to receive and cling to in faith. His body and blood are here for you to eat and drink and be fully satisfied. Jesus has been merciful to poor, miserable sinners like you and me. Though none of us have deserved his love, he was churned up inside of himself at the knowledge of the danger that we face because of our sins and in this earthly life. And because we cannot save ourselves, he came and gave up his life. He traded places with us and died the death that we deserve, that we have earned by our sins. And in his death, he defeated death and hell. He died, but he also rose from the dead for you and for me. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death in order to deliver us there as well. And he continues to teach us all these things. He continues to feed and nourish us for this life and for the life that is to come with the bread that has come down from heaven. Keep listening then to the voice of your good shepherd, who has had compassion on you. Trust his words that your sins of desiring the things of this world more than his teachings, your doubts and your fears and your struggles to listen and to hear and to believe and to cherish and to do his word, your selfishness and lack of thanks, and all of your sins have been freely forgiven for Christ's sake. The one who is powerful to feed the multitudes from a few loaves and a couple of fish has done so much more than fill your bellies. He has given you life in himself, eternal life, so that you will never be hungry or thirsty again. The word has been spoken. The table is set. Come and be blessed. Come and eat and drink Christ's body and blood and be satisfied. And then go and live in his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who, for some other reason, are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.